loved your daily dose of inspiration with your Morning Boost. Now, AWB Adventures brings you the complete picture. Welcome to AWB's Boost Bundle, where we've combined all the valuable insights from this week's episodes into one convenient listen. Your leadership deep dive starts now.
Good morning, school leaders. Welcome to your Morning Boost. I'm Adam Bush, wishing you an inspiring start to your week. Today, we're going to reflect on something truly powerful, the profound impact we can have when we choose to do more than the bare minimum, when we commit to going above and beyond in our work. It's about recognizing that our daily actions, even the small ones, hold immense potential to shape lives far beyond what we might initially realize. Now, before we get going, I am going to apologize ahead of time. Today's episode, it's going to be a little longer. While cleaning up some old papers and books this last weekend, I recently ran across some notes from a clinic that I attended many, many years ago, and these scratches reminded me of a truly powerful presentation. It's easy to navigate our professional lives by simply doing what's expected, never really challenging ourselves or taking calculated risks. And while that path might feel easy, it rarely leads to truly significant accomplishments or, more importantly, a profound impact on others. This idea really brings to mind this very presentation I saw years ago by a gentleman named Kevin Elko, who at the time was a vital figure in the United States Olympic team. He worked with athletes not on their physical performance, but on the crucial mental aspects of competition and life. He shared a story that has resonated with me ever since, and it fits perfectly into this conversation today. Now, also apologies, Mr. Elko. I'm sure that my memory of the details has really faded over the years, but I believe I've got your core message, and it remains incredibly clear to me. I'll do my best to convey its essence, perhaps with a few name changes to illustrate the point for us. Okay, now Mr. Elko began with the story of a young boy named, we're going to call him Jacob, who was growing up in a typical American town, living a typical American life. Jacob loved playing with friends, video games, riding his bike, and he absolutely adored fire trucks and firefighters. His mom, Lucy, often found herself adjusting her plans to follow the sirens on those lucky days when they came across firefighters heading to a call, just so Jacob could see them in action. Jacob's typical childhood, however, began to take a less typical turn as he approached the age of 9. He started showing signs of fatigue, unable to do the things that other boys did or what he had previously enjoyed. After many trips to the doctor, they discovered Jacob had an incurable and inoperable tumor. There was no expectation of survival, and following a period of understandable grief, anger, and hopelessness that Jacob's family bravely endured, they committed themselves to making Jacob's remaining days as rich and joyful as possible. They spent time at the park, engaging in activities as much as Jacob's failing body would allow. One day, as Lucy and Jacob were walking past the local fire station, Lucy, on a whim, led Jacob right through the large open door towards a beautiful fire truck. Jacob was completely awestruck. While they stood there, Lucy heard a man from behind her ask, "Can I help you folks?" She turned to see the fire chief. She had never met Chief Davis before, and after formal introductions, Lucy began to explain why they were there. At the end of her heartfelt story, she asked the chief if it would be okay for Jacob to just simply look inside the fire truck so he could see this magnificent machine that he had just fantasized about for so many years. The chief promptly replied, "No." Before Lucy could even react to what felt like an abrupt answer, Chief Davis finished his sentence with, "I can do better than that." He immediately left and returned with a couple of more firefighters and then made an announcement over the intercom for all firefighters to meet him in the garage. Once everyone was assembled, Chief Davis announced that they had a new recruit joining their force today. He told one of his firefighters, "Jake, meet Jacob. I need you to get him set up in the standard outfit so he is ready for duty." Jake immediately took Jacob to get a helmet, a fire suit, gloves, and all that official gear. After that, Jacob spent the day helping the crew with truck maintenance, washing another truck on the front sidewalk. He was just part of everything, right up until it was time to join the crew for lunch. Chief Davis always insisted that they eat together unless they were on a call, believing it was the best way to build the trust essential for a team, where every single person was a vital part, and Jacob was vital that day. As they were finishing lunch, the alarms blared. A call was coming in. Now, Lucy instinctively went to get Jacob so the firefighters could head out until Chief Davis gave her a quick glance. She knew at that moment what her answer would be as his eyes communicated that her son would be safe. "Are you ready to go, Jacob?" Chief Davis asked. Lucy hesitated. Are you sure? You've already done enough for Jacob today." Chief Davis replied with conviction. "I can do better than that. Jacob," he said, "the community needs us, and they need you today." Jacob enthusiastically leaped at the opportunity, donned all his gear, and hopped into the front of the first fire truck, right next to Chief Davis. Once they arrived at the scene, Jacob was relaying orders and information across the radios word for word as Chief Davis instructed him. And in just a few minutes, the team managed to get the fire under control, and a little while later, it was completely out. The family whose home had suffered damage and would certainly need repairs did not lose their entire house that day, thanks to the dedicated work of that team, with Jacob proudly included. Lucy recalled that from that day forward, Jacob just couldn't stop talking about his day as a firefighter. He told all his friends, who were incredibly jealous, of course, his teachers, everybody. He truly was a firefighter that day. It would have been very easy for Chief Davis to simply let Jacob see the inside of the truck. I'm sure they had a plastic fire helmet or a sticker somewhere that he could have given him. I've seen those before. I'm sure that he and the rest of the team had other seemingly more pressing things to do that day than to dedicate it to a child they had never met. He had a sad story, but unfortunately, so do many kids in our world. Yet, Chief Davis, Jake, and the rest of that team chose to do more. They chose to do better than that. A little over a year later, Lucy sat next to Jacob's hospital bed. Sometimes she counted the days until she knew what was inevitable. Other times she became angry, thinking how unfair this was for her son. And at times she would just cry. All emotions many of us experience in such painful moments. Even through all this pain, she still remembered the day she witnessed the kind efforts of a team of people who refused to just do the bare minimum for a couple of strangers. She ended up writing a note to the fire station to thank them for that amazing day and to let them know how much it had meant to their family. As the chief was reading this note to his team, he announced he was going to the hospital to see Jacob and offered a ride if anybody wanted to join him. Jake immediately stood up and said, "Chief, we can do better than that." The very next day, the doctor came to Jacob's room and said to Jacob and his mom and his dad, said, I don't want you to be alarmed, but there's a fire call here at the hospital and fire trucks will be showing up. Everyone is safe. Things will be okay. He then went over and opened the window, removing the screen. They could already hear the sirens and see flashing lights, and soon the top of a ladder appeared at their window. One after another, the entire team from Chief Davis's fire department climbed through Jacob's window that day. With what little energy he had left, Jacob was a non-stop, smiling, excited little boy as his team came to see him. During the family's remarks at Jacob's celebration of life, the impact of that team, those days, those little moments where they made the choice to do more, to do better than that, were the driving force that helped that family move past the grief they felt and towards a profound sense of comfort. Mr. Elko's story has always resonated with me because it reminds us that the moments where our actions truly impact others aren't always planned or convenient. They often arise in the most unexpected ways. And as educators, our work is fundamentally about serving others, but it's about more than just delivering content or managing a building. It's about recognizing that every interaction, every decision, and every supportive word carries the potential for immense impact. We don't always know when these moments will come, when our choice to do better than that will fundamentally change a life. But by embracing that mindset daily and by working with passion and purpose, regardless of who is watching or what immediate benefit we perceive, we create a ripple effect of profound positive change in our school communities. It's about remembering that our dedication creates a legacy far greater than any task list. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this story today. Like I said, it's always meant a lot to me. We'll be back again tomorrow with our typical Your Morning Boost as we give you a tip or trick to help you lead your school or community. Thank you again for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.
Where's your kid headed after high school? We are From Carpool to College, two accomplished educators, college and career consultants, and parents who guide families through the entire journey, from freshman year planning to senior year success. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, dedicated school leaders, and a very happy Tuesday to all of you. Welcome back to Your Morning Boost. As we look towards a new school year, today we're going to tackle a common challenge, and that is how to kick off the year with staff and keep those crucial pre-service meetings from turning into a boring, unproductive drag. Today we're going to explore some strategies to make them engaging, inspiring, and truly beneficial for everyone. Okay, now we've all been there, sitting through endless pre-service meetings that feel more like a marathon than a kickoff. But these early days with our staff are incredibly important for setting that tone and building morale and really ensuring everyone feels ready and re-energized for the year ahead. Our goal is to transform those typically dull sessions into dynamic, value-driven experiences. So how do we make these pre-service meetings effective and engaging? A great starting point is to prioritize active learning and collaboration over passive listening. Instead of simply presenting information, take the time to design some activities where staff can discuss, problem solve, and create together. Think of small group breakouts, collaborative whiteboarding sessions, or even quick interactive polls that get everyone thinking and sharing. It's also incredibly powerful to infuse inspiration and purpose into every session. Connect our professional development directly to our school's vision and how it will directly impact student success. Share compelling success stories from the previous year if possible, or maybe even invite a student or parent to speak about the positive difference the staff made. Another strategy is to break up the monotony with variety and movement. Avoid having people sit for too long. Incorporate energizers, stretch breaks, or even brief outdoor activities if your space and weather allows. Vary the presenters and presentation styles. Think beyond the projector screen. Use whiteboards, flip charts, or even back to good old pen and paper hands-on materials. Finally, make sure to respect their time and focus on actionable takeaways. Every session should have a clear purpose and leave staff with something concrete that they can use in their classrooms or roles immediately. Provide clear agendas, stick to time limits, and summarize key takeaways. This is all going to show that you value their time and expertise. Just remember that our pre-service week sets the stage for the entire school year. By making it engaging and purposeful, we are investing in our staff's enthusiasm and effectiveness. Okay, to summarize, transforming pre-service meetings from a drag to a dynamic start involves embracing active learning, prioritizing inspiration, injecting variety, and respecting everyone's time with actionable content. It's about creating an atmosphere where staff feel valued, heard, and genuinely excited about the year ahead, rather than just waiting for the clock to strike dismissal. Now, before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of other awesome podcasts. We talked about these again last week. If you're not checking these out, I think you really want to. If you're looking for ways to support students as they prepare for college, check out Carpool to College with hosts Tracy Amadeo and Tara Horitz. If you're wanting some laughs and some real talk about school leadership, my dear friend Dr. Lisa Hill hosts Vice Principal in Office. She's absolutely hilarious. Shares great stories and tidbits of life as a school principal. All of these shows can be found by searching the name wherever you get your podcasts. But otherwise, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow with some more tips and tricks to help you lead your school. But again, thank you for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Hill, a longtime educator of nearly 40 years as a teacher, counselor, professor, and vice principal, and I've seen just about everything public schools can throw at you. And now I'm sharing my tales on my comedy podcast, Vice Principal Unofficed. It's where school leadership meets laugh-out-loud stories, from underwear-required parent-teacher conferences, yes, really, to staff lounge confessions and more you won't believe. I'm telling it all with humor and a whole lot of heart. I also tackle the serious stuff too, like what schools really need to change and those behind-the-scenes moments no one talks about. So if you're ready to laugh, learn, and maybe even cry a little, but mostly laugh, join me and my 90-year-old mom, my unofficial co-host, on Vice Principal Unofficed. New episodes drop bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Trust me, this is one detention you'll actually look forward to.
Good morning, amazing school leaders, and a happy Wednesday to all of you. Welcome back to your Morning Boost. As the new school year approaches, many of us are welcoming new faces to our teams. And today we're going to share some ideas on how to celebrate and genuinely introduce new staff members without resorting to the typical awkward stand in front of everyone moment. We want them to feel welcome, valued, and immediately part of our school families. Now, integrating new staff effectively is more than just an HR formality. It's about building a strong, cohesive team from day one. When new educators feel truly welcome and connected, they're more likely to thrive, stay, and contribute meaningfully to our school's culture. So let's move beyond the perfunctionary introductions and create a genuinely warm and engaging welcome. So consider making the introduction process more organic and personal. Instead of a large, intimidating group introduction, think about organizing small, informal meet-and-greet sessions. This can involve brief coffee chats with grade-level teams, department meetings focused on welcome and integration, or even a casual lunch with a few key staff members each day during pre-service. Another effective strategy is to assign each new staff member a mentor or a buddy well before pre-service begins. This provides them with that go-to person for questions, a friendly face, an immediate connection, making those initial awkward moments far less daunting. It's also powerful to create a personalized welcome packet or digital resource hub. Beyond the standard HR paperwork, include a welcome letter from you, a staff directory with photos, fun facts about the school or community, maybe even a list of local hidden gems. This shows thoughtfulness and gives them some resources right at their fingertips. Moreover, incorporate a getting-to-know-you activity during pre-service that allows new and veteran staff to interact in a low-pressure, fun way. It could be a scavenger hunt around the school, a team-building challenge, maybe a two truths and a lie icebreaker that helps personality shine through. Ultimately, just remember that celebration can be subtle and continuous. A quick public shout-out during morning announcements about a new staff member's background, a shared positive anecdote, or highlighting their unique skills in a newsletter, all of these will help make them feel seen and appreciated without putting them on the spot. A true welcome integrates them into the fabric of our school communities, making them feel like they belong from the very start. Okay, in summary, celebrating and introducing new staff goes far beyond a formal presentation. It's about creating personalized connections through small group interactions, assigning mentors, offering thoughtful welcome resources, and facilitating engaging, low-pressure activities that help everyone get to know each other. The goal is to build a feeling of belonging and genuine connection, ensuring that our new team members step into the year feeling supported and excited. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll be back again tomorrow with some more tips and tricks coming from AWB Education. But again, thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow. Good morning, all you innovative school leaders, and a very happy Thursday to all of you. Welcome back to your Morning Boost. Before I jump into today's topic, I want to quickly remind you about Control Shift Lead, a show that I co-host with Mr. Jim Wichman. Each month, we give you something you can control, something that will shift your thinking, and a takeaway to help you lead your team. You can find it by searching the name wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for more information on Jim or my work, feel free to reach out to us at AWB Education, and we'll get you connected with that. Otherwise, today we're going to talk about the school year bringing new opportunities. And for many schools, it also brings new students who are relocating from other districts, states, or even countries. These move-in students often arrive with a mix of excitement, apprehension, and a unique set of needs. Our role as school leaders is to anticipate these challenges and put systems in place to make their first day, and indeed their first few weeks, a genuine success. So how do we set these new students up for a great start? One proactive step is to create a welcoming and informative new student orientation opportunity, ideally before the general student body returns, if possible. This could be a dedicated morning or afternoon session where students can tour the building, meet key staff members like counselors and administrators, and even connect with a few existing student ambassadors. Another critical piece would be to assign each new student a peer buddy or a welcome committee from their grade level. This student can help them navigate the school, understand routines, and introduce them to new friends during lunch and recess, just helping to ease the social anxieties considerably. It's also vital to ensure that their enrollment and class placement are seamless and efficient. Nothing creates more stress than a disorganized first day. Have their schedules, locker assignments, and necessary supplies ready to go. Proactive communication with families before day one about these logistics can make a huge difference too. Consider how you can provide teachers with crucial background information on these students as well. A brief profile outlining their previous school experience, any known academic or social needs, or even just their interests. All of this can help teachers personalize their welcome and support from the moment they step into the classroom. Finally, remember that ongoing check-ins are also essential. Schedule follow-up meetings with the student and their family after the first week or two to help address any emerging concerns or celebrate success. This shows continuous care and helps catch potential issues early. Just a few proactive steps can help create a strong foundation, helping new students feel seen, supported, and ready to learn. Okay, in summary, setting new move-in students up for success on day one involves a few things here. We're going to take a multifaceted approach, providing early orientation opportunities, pairing them with peer buddies, ensuring seamless administrative transitions, equipping teachers with valuable background information, and maintaining consistent follow-up. Our goal is to transform what could be an overwhelming experience into one that is welcoming, supportive, and ultimately, a foundation for their academic and social flourishing in our school communities. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again on Friday with some more insights as we turn our look into the mirror and look at ourselves. But again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. We will talk with you again tomorrow. Good morning, visionary school leaders, and a fantastic Friday to all of you. Welcome back to your Morning Boost. As we look ahead to the impending hustle and bustle of the school year, today's topic is one that's super vital, and that is the importance of taking one last intentional break before the school year truly begins, if it hasn't done so already. This is about focusing on yourself, recharging your batteries, and ensuring you're showing up as your best, most resilient self for the challenges and triumphs ahead. Now, the end of summer can often feel like a countdown to chaos. Emails start piling up, calendars fill, the mental to-do list just grows exponentially. It's incredibly tempting to dive headfirst into preparations, sacrificing those last few precious moments of downtime. However, for leaders like us, the well-being of our school hinges on our own well-being. This final stretch before the year officially starts, it's not a time to ramp up. It's a time to pause and replenish. So what does it mean to focus on yourself and take one last meaningful break? It's about consciously disconnecting from school-related tasks and thoughts. This might mean setting an out-of-office reply and truly not checking emails or engaging in work-related discussions for a few days. Even if it's just a weekend, give yourself permission for a complete mental reset. Another critical aspect is to engage in activities that genuinely recharge us. For some, this is spending time in nature, whether it's hiking, fishing, or simply sitting in a park. For others, it might be reading for pleasure, indulging in a hobby, or spending quality, uninterrupted time with our loved ones. It's important to identify what truly re-energizes our spirit and make time for it. Consider prioritizing physical well-being during this period too. Get adequate sleep, focus on nourishing meals, and incorporate movement or exercise that feels good to your body. Our physical state profoundly impacts our mental and emotional resilience. Finally, take a moment for reflection and intention setting without the pressure of planning. Think about what you want to bring into the new school year. What kind of leader do you want to be? How do you want to feel? This isn't about setting concrete goals yet, but rather cultivating a positive mindset and a sense of purpose that will serve us when intensity begins. This isn't a luxury, it's a necessity for sustainable leadership. Your school community needs a leader who is present, calm, and capable, and that starts with a leader who is well-rested and personally recharged. In essence, taking one last intentional break before the school year's hustle is about prioritizing our own well-being through conscious disconnection, engaging in genuinely recharging activities, focusing on physical health, and reflecting on our intentions. By doing so, we're not just taking time off. We're building our resilience and capacity to lead effectively. Just imagine starting the year not with a sigh of exhaustion, but with a deep breath of readiness, knowing that you filled your own cup to overflowing. That's the power of this final pause. Thanks for listening. I hope you've had a wonderful week. We'll be back again next week with some more from AWB Education here on Your Morning Boost. Thank you for being a listener. We really appreciate any feedback or any comments that you have for our show. We're always looking on ways to make this even better to serve your needs. But again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Friday and an even better, more recharging weekend. We will talk with you again next week.
Thank you for tuning into AWB's Boost Bundle. We trust this collection of your Morning Boost episodes has given you a powerful end to your week. For more daily inspiration and actionable advice, be sure to subscribe to your Morning Boost wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week for more ways to amplify your leadership.